You're at the tailgates of hell. The NFC East podcast for the common man. Here are your hosts, Jason Giaconia and Benjamin David.
Fly, Eagles, fly. That's the only happy fan base at this point. Welcome to the tailgates of hell. It's the NFC East podcast for the common man, and really only one set of the fans are feeling good right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Eagles 4-1 look good. Look like they're going to be contenders. Everyone else, I mean, the Redskins were off, so not much you can say about them this week. But the Cowboys lose a close one, and the Giants just continue to astound. Now 0-5. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we'll spend some time on them.
Unbelievable.
All right, recapping real quick. Cowboys lose 35-31 to the Packers. Eagles rout the Cardinals 34-7. Giants lose 27-22 to the Chargers. Redskins were off. So I guess we'll just go around the league. Anything major? See the Chris Forrester video?
Yes. I mean,
this league.
I mean, it's just, it's so stupid, but it's so odd. Like, when the coaches are getting caught doing it, like, what do you think the actual players are doing?
Of course. Yeah, it's just funny because you got the NFL who's, oh, you can't have playmakers on ESPN. They got that booted. They bitch and complain about ballers and what that shows. That's probably not even half of what actually goes on.
Did you see, what's her name? Jemele Hill got suspended from ESPN today for saying the advertiser, you should boycott NFL advertisers. Probably not the best thing to say when you work for ESPN.
This sports world, they're on a slippery slope. Yeah,
I really think that we're at this crossroads of sports in America where, like, baseball sort of exists as a thing, right? It's not that, it's just sort of there. It's not super popular. Football was this juggernaut, but I think like sports like hockey and even like soccer, lacrosse even, I mean, some of these sports I think are going to start to rise as people play football less. And all this, I mean, the NFL just looks like a joke. I don't think anybody likes the NFL anymore. And I don't even know if people like the games anymore. I mean, it's just getting, everything's trending in the wrong direction for the NFL. And what can you do?
Yeah.
Except blow coke with a
who knows what else is going on, but yeah, very interesting. But that, I mean, that's the world we live in with the internet and the social media. Yep. And I think, and I don't know how far you can really dig into this stuff, but they talk about the ratings being down. I almost feel like it's some of the access to some of these players and some of these coaches, and you find out kind of what kind of human beings, you know, some of this league is.
I mean, it's not to like make this a stupid millennial thing or anything, but people that are in their 20s and younger do not have the same affinity to the sports that, you know, we did and our parents did and all that stuff. So I just think it's a cultural change sort of happening across the board, and I think football's getting caught up in it. And I agree with you. It's like you look at these players every week and these owners and these coaches and Roger Goodell, and it's just like, screw you, man.
Right. That's exactly what it is.
They pissed off both sides with the kneeling stuff and then all the stuff, you know, the management stuff, I guess. It's just across the board, you've pissed off your entire fan base.
Yeah. So whatever fan base is left, NFC East podcast, so let's touch on kind of what else is going on. Major injuries across the league. OBJ, we'll talk about. J.J. Watt goes down last night. I think he broke his leg as well, and he's done for the year.
It's 2 years in a row, right?
Yeah, and it's crazy how these fine-tuned athletes take one step the wrong way and their legs in half.
Well, I mean, it goes back to, you know, these super, like, the human body is not meant to be a super athlete moving at 4-2 speed colliding with another 200-pound individual. I don't care how, you know, carrying all that muscle and training and all that stuff, so you know, these guys just going down. But Watt, I mean, that's a tough break. And Watt, you know, he's no spring chicken anymore. So maybe towards the end of his run here. But that stinks. I mean, he's sort of a, you know, I mean, I don't really like J.J. Watt. I think he's sort of a phony sort of guy. But he's a superstar in the league. So tough break for the Texans. Tough break for J.J. Watt, literally, I guess.
Kansas City, sole unbeaten team at 5-0, I think, through 5 weeks. Everybody will agree they look like the best team. So
incredible. Alex Smith, I mean, the guy. What kills me about Alex Smith is the first 10 years of his career, it felt like, were just total garbage, and the next 10 are, he's actually pretty good. So
hey, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If Kirk Cousins doesn't sign with the Redskins, Alex Smith's in the last year of his contract. They just drafted someone in the first round. Give me him for three
now,
or 4 years.
Wouldn't it be interesting, and there's obviously a long way to go, if the Super Bowl was the Eagles and Chiefs this year?
Oh, it'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. But that's where you expect the Chiefs to trip up again, and that's where Andy Reid has always tripped up, is when you get to the playoffs. But, you know, now that he's not an Eagle, you kind of have a soft spot.
I want him to win so bad. Want him to win one so bad.
But his old team, we'll talk about the Eagles now. They win 34-7 against the Arizona Cardinals, and it wasn't even really that close. So we'll start with the great Carson Wentz. Had a great game. 304 yards, four total touchdowns. Offense as a whole had 419 yards. Kids played well. You think about a sophomore slump as we went into the season, and he has not had it at all.
Nope. Wentz looks like a player. The Cardinals stink, but four touchdowns, ton of yardage. I mean, the guy makes plays. He does remind me of, like, Ben Roethlisberger, early on, or even, you know, Peyton Manning a little bit, as I've said, because he could just fling the ball. This was actually, as I was flying back from vacation somewhere over the Atlantic, they actually beamed this game to my plane, so I was able to see some of it. He's great. I mean, Carson Wentz is a guy that he's probably, well, I wouldn't go this far, but he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFC East right now. I mean, they're all four are pretty decent, but Wentz is definitely stood out this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're grading him on a curve with that being his second year, he's a guy, if you were starting a team tomorrow, I think he'd be one of the top couple picks. I was just impressed with the Eagles' approach to this game. It was a game they should win. They went in, they controlled all three phases, they got off to a hot start, and they got to 4-1, and they're in first place alone. It was one of those things where the team wasn't that great last year, and it's like, okay, well, how good are they? Can they be this year? It was a game they were supposed to win, and it was just a statement game. They did a great job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it was never even close. I mean, I think the Cardinals scored their first touchdown.
Like, yeah, 10 minutes in.
Yeah, so great game. You know, the one thing I want to say about Wentz is, the Cleveland Browns could have drafted him.
I saw some tweet where they could have had him, Prescott, or Deshaun Watson, and they passed on all of them. And they said, at what point does having all these picks not matter if you're not picking the right players?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the Browns for sure. So, anyways, yeah, great game by the Cardinals, complete game. Nine straight games of 20 points or more, which is actually the longest streak in the NFL. They're clicking on all cylinders. Zach Ertz, you know, having a phenomenal season, and Aguilar, you know, is
he looks like a totally different player.
Yeah,
because
they're clicking.
Took in the first round and expected to make this impact. He sucked for 2 years, and now, you know, he had a 72-yard catch yesterday for a touchdown. Through five games, he's got 266 yards, and he's got a few touchdowns because he had one yesterday. And I know he had one against the Redskins too. So he's playing well. Other good, their defensive line played well again, and that's without Fletcher Cox. You know, they only had two sacks yesterday, but they put a lot of pressure on Carson Palmer.
I mean, the Cardinals are not a good football team, so no. The Eagles, you know, have to give a superhuman effort here. But again, you know, you're missing your star, and you're missing Ronald Darby, who's probably, like, I think, their best cornerback. So to be able to hold a team to 7 points is good. I don't care how bad the team is. You know, the bad part, Lane Johnson suffers a concussion, so we'll see how big a loss that is.
Yeah, and especially they got a quick turnaround this week, so to pass the new concussion protocol, it's got to be quick. So that's really the only bad. I had nothing for Stank in this game. You know, I tried to look for something. I want to find something wrong with the Eagles, and
I would just say is, you know, we've seen this before from a Peterson Wentz led team. They started fast last year, and they faded down the stretch, so we'll see if they can keep it going. Another fast start, and they look like they're in, you know, the driver's seat of the NFC East through the first 5 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. So the team that won the NFC East last year, they had their 2016 season ended in a playoff upset to the Green Bay Packers, 34-31. And then yesterday, it was the same exact script. Cowboys lose to the Packers, 35-31. Basically a playoff repeat the way that game went down. And if you're a Cowboys fan, what else do you say but just Aaron expletive Rodgers? And just,
I mean,
yeah,
what so, can you do?
Talking about the Cowboys for a second, we'll go with the great. You got to hit it to Dak Prescott. We've talked all week, or all season really, thus far about how, you know, this guy hasn't really stepped up in a big game. He manages the game well, but outside of the defense falling apart at the end, this is kind of where he stepped up in a big spot, drove the team down the field in the Cowboys to, you would think, to win the game.
Yeah, definitely. He, you know, as you said, we always say he never won a game, but he basically did. He brought the team in to win. Big day anyways, 251 yards, three touchdowns, two to Joe Dirt, one to Dez. he ran for 37, you know, he did have one bad pick six, but that wasn't much of his fault. He had a hell of a game, so I got to give it to him. You know, the one question is, should they have sort of killed the clock a little bit before they gave the ball back to Senior Rodgers?
Yeah, and let's talk about that in a second when we get into the bad, because I want to kind of touch on that. So in the good, Ezekiel Elliott, in which what could be his last game for a while, he rushed really well, 116 yards, continues to be their most consistent threat.
Yeah, so suspend him already. He's a scumbag. He should just get it over with.
Or don't, whatever. Just, yeah, right. I just want this over with at this point.
Right, right. And I mean, if I was him, I'd almost want it to happen. You know, I don't know. It's so stupid. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, he's a hell of a player. Not quite as great as he was last year, but, you know, whatever. He's still one of the top running backs in the league. So kudos to him, 116 yards. You're right, best and most consistent player.
All right, on the bad, we'll start real quick. Cowboys rush defense. Packers are not a team that runs the ball well. Dallas gave up over 150 on the ground.
The Dallas defense sucks, and that's probably the reason why they're probably in the predicament they are. What can you do? So I mean,
yeah, so they suck. So let's talk about, let's go back to, should, like, what do you do at that point? So the Cowboys had a legitimately a perfect drive in the fourth quarter. They got the ball back with 9-something to play. They had a 17-play, 8-minute and 43-second drive to score the go-ahead touchdown. And so Dak Prescott scores on a run. And the question that I was looking at the Cowboys papers this morning is, they're saying he should have stopped at the one to drill the club. But how do you do that?
How much time did he have left?
I want to say it was a minute and change. It was like,
no, dude, you score. You just score. You, I mean, it's like, score. There's so many variables there. If you can get in, you can score, and you've got to put it on. If your defense can't keep them out of the end zone with a minute left or whatever it is, you know, that's on the defense.
It goes to that whole way that defensive coordinators in this league play that last minute, where they basically give them 50 yards for free, and then it's, okay, well, let's see if we could hold them for that last little bit. And when you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you just can't. The guy makes so many crazy plays, and he's so good at, like, I don't know. I'm
with you the whole how the defensive coordinators start to play soft because they don't want to give up the big play. Who cares if they score the big play?
Then you got a minute and a half.
Exactly. It's so stupid, but whatever. I mean, I get the whole, oh, we should. I mean, that's just like, that's so stupid.
It's one thing if you could win with a field goal. If they were up two, maybe you'd take a knee and do that, but you can't stop. So, stank for the Cowboys. You know, they got the Zeke suspension that's hanging over their heads. And they're 2-3. They're two full games behind the Eagles now. They're a half game behind the Redskins. They're going into the bye with this loss. And then their upcoming schedule is no cakewalk. So they come back. They're at San Francisco, which is a game you would think they should win. But then they got games with the Redskins, Chiefs, Falcons, and Eagles.
That's a tough four-game stretch.
That's a team. Those are four teams with a combined 3 losses at this point, and two of them are for the Redskins. Like, that's a tough schedule.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys, I don't think they're going anywhere. I mean, they don't look like a good team this year or anywhere close to last year. My question is, you know, if they go, let's say they go 7-9. They look like a 7-9 team right now. does Garrett come back? I you know, I'm like, or is it just sort of like, okay, now we move on and find something else? He's been there for, gosh, got to be, what, 7 years?
2010, I think. I think we looked this up, but in an earlier show we were talking about it.
And it's like, it's pretty unimpressive when you look at his record. So I don't know. I don't know if the hot seat starts for him or not. But the Cowboys are a weird team. We should also mention that Jerry Jones is now threatening to. Now, this is a really tough mandate to throw out going into your bye week, but any player that deals will be benched for the game. So, you know, who knows what that'll do to the team, but they're a clown show by their nature, and I don't see it getting any different this year. They're just, that defense is not good.
All right, so if I asked you during the preview show, what would be a nightmarish first five games for the New York Giants? I don't even think you could come up with the way things are right now. So they lose to the Chargers 27-22. I know you missed most of the game. I got nothing for great.
I mean, we're not even gonna talk about good, great, bad. They just stank completely. So just wipe all that out. Let's talk about the Giants. Okay, number one. Eli Manning. Sadly, I don't think we'll ever get his win over Phillip Rivers. And just briefly, may I say,
hey, he's got the ultimate win is when he holds up his hand with two rings. But
that's true. The much heralded QB class of 2004 is at the end of the trail, man.
Yeah.
I mean, but Roethlisberger, Rivers, and Manning, whew, it ain't like it used to be with those three. I'll tell you that much. Okay, OBJ. Broken ankle. Done for the year. Confirmed.
That was gross.
Terrible injury. Now, let me walk you through the Giants' number one receivers since 2008. Number one receiver in 2008, Plexico Burress. Shoots his leg off, goes to jail, returns, is never the same player. Okay? Steve Smith tears his patella tendon in a freak injury.
He's on a ballot for the Hall of Fame right now.
The other Steve Smith. I think it was against the Vikings. Number one receiver. Contract on the table he didn't sign was never the same again. Hakeem Nicks. Looked like a megastar receiver for 3 years. Won a Super Bowl.
League, isn't he?
Jams his foot against, I think it was the Buccaneers. Never the same player again. Cut the next year. Never got his big contract. Victor Cruz, hero, one of the best seasons in the history of the NFL, and the Giants especially. Magical run, wins the Super Bowl, tears his patella tendon against the Eagles in the end zone. Never the same player again. OBJ, having the maybe greatest start to a career of any wide receiver ever. Hurts his ankle in the preseason, sort of gets hurt and nicked the whole year, and snaps his ankle in half in this game. Will he ever be the same again? I don't know. I feel bad because he hasn't gotten his big money deal yet, so we'll see. I mean, I think he'll probably at this point be – is this his fifth year? I can never tell if this is going into his – I think this is his last year. He'll probably get franchised would be my guess next year. And they'll pay him big money for 1 year and then let him prove his worth. So, notwithstanding, Harris breaks his foot, our return man. He's out for the year. Brandon Marshall hurts his ankle. He's expected to miss significant games. He hasn't shown up for the first five, so no big deal there. Sterling Shepard, I think, twisted his ankle too. He's, you know, potentially out. Who cares? So, I mean, the Giants are 0-5. And, hang on, give me 1 second here. They are absolutely one of the worst teams in the NFL right now. I mean, obviously, they're going to have top three pick, I think. They may have the number one pick. So the question now becomes, do they take a quarterback? Or do they take a left tackle and go with Eli Manning and Davis Webb? I don't know. This is their schedule coming up. At the Broncos, Sunday night. National football game. They're going to get their shit pushed in by the Denver Broncos defense. October 22nd, home against the Seahawks. Loss. Bye week. Home against the Rams. Loss. November 12th, at the 49ers. Maybe November 12th, they'll get their first win. Let's see. November 19th. Home against the Chiefs. Loss. November 23rd, Thanksgiving Eve at the Redskins. Loss. Let's see. December 3rd, 425 against the Raiders. Loss. Let's see. December 10th, Cowboys. Loss. December 17th, Eagles. Loss. Let's see. December 24th, Christmas at the Cardinals. They may deliver a Christmas for us weary Giants fans. And then December 31st, New Year's Eve. They'll probably ring in the new year with a loss. So this team.
The revenge game.
Maybe. Maybe I'd say they may steal one from the in the NFC East in there. Maybe one of the Redskins games or a Cowboys or Eagles games, whatever.
Well, so I almost feel like if you're a Giants fan, you worry that they'll like sneak out somehow like five or six games.
I thought about that. There's no way. Look at that schedule. There is no way with OBJ officially out for the year.
Yeah.
Vernon hurt ankle. We'll see when he comes back. We'll see when he feels ready to get the field. I have a feeling it's going to be a while.
Well, when you're 0-7 when he's ready,
JPP completely non-existent. Landon Collins playing like his rookie year, not his sensational year last year. Janoris Jenkins walked off the field before the game ended yesterday. So he's out of there. DRC hurt. Eli Apple stinks. The offensive line stinks. Evan Ingram, no wide receivers yesterday. They go to three tight ends. He doesn't get a catch. How do you have a max TE offense and he doesn't have a catch?
If this was pro wrestling, we'd be going off the air with you still ranting and raving. Don't worry. I think there's a little bit more time for the New York Giants on the other side. We'll be back with the Stank Rankings before we close it out on the Tailgates of Hell.
For all the latest NFC East news and opinions, check out tailgatesofhell.com or follow on Twitter at tailgatesofhell.
And another thing about the Giants is that here's what I'm worried about is now that they've lost, half of their team to injuries, if they win four games, that John Merrill say he'll blame the season on the injuries and bring McAdoo back and Jerry Reese back. They have got to fire these guys. I have a feeling that if McAdoo wins less than four games, he'll be gone. Jerry Reese will be gone. And then, we get into the whole rebuilding thing, the number one pick, Eli Manning, all that stuff. It's incredible that this team is so terrible. And it reminds me of 2003, that last Jim Fossil year, where it was like they had Tiki Barber and Amani Toomer and Kerry Collins and all the, all those guys, Shockey, and then they just stunk it up and laid an egg. But even that team, the team that got Jim Fossil fired, was better than this team. And may I point out to the New York front office that Tom Coughlin has got his Jaguars at 3-1 or 4-1, whatever they are, and in first place.
And beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Steelers. All right.
Well, the Stank Vikings, go!
Yeah, so number 28, they played the Eagles yesterday. They may be the worst 2-3 team. Their two wins came against the 49ers in overtime at home and in Indianapolis. The Arizona Cardinals stank.
Yes, they're a terrible team. Arians is a really, really cool guy, fun to watch and like listen to. And he's actually, his career has been pretty good as a coach. He had that cool year in Indianapolis. He's a great guy with the Steelers. He had a really good team. I just think the Cardinals are old. Palmer, Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald,
you got to love Fitzgerald, but, it's just they don't have it and they're a terrible team.
Number 29, Chicago Bears. They're playing as of this recording. They're so stank right now that they have given up on their season. They're starting the young kid now, which they should do.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll see. I mean, I don't really think Trubisky's that good of a football player, but
it was a reach. Hey,
you might as well let him play out the year and see what happens. And maybe John Fox sort of feels like, hey, if he looks good, no matter what happens, they'll keep me around because we don't want to screw up the rookie. But Bears 1-3, they stank.
Number 30. Is there anything left for the New York Giants?
I would have put them at 30, but we'll see. The tank is on. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't even know how they're going to field 53 guys.
Number 31.
You want to play wide receiver in New York? Go for it.
Hey, for one day of that contract, absolutely.
Ted Johnson and Terrell Owens were both tweeting that they could go play for the Giants. If they kept. That's what we lowered ourselves.
Number 31, the San Francisco 49ers. They're 0-5, two straight overtime losses. I will say, though, I'm very nervous for this weekend when they come to Washington.
Yeah, maybe could see it happening.
The Kyle Shanahan revenge game.
You got to feel like Kirk is going to audition for his new team in this game, so maybe have a big performance. I mean, the 49ers, though, feel like a franchise that's sort of in the abyss right now. At least with our 32 team, they have like this loyal fan base, but no one goes to the 49ers games.
Oh, I know.
And there's like no talent on that team. So we'll see. But they're a very, very bad football team, and it just seems like, so, you know, I mean, it was a while ago now, but not too long ago they were Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
Now, not even close.
Number 32, this team could win their next 11 games, and I don't think I'd move them off of number 32. DeShone Kizer's benched. You know that guy who has his jersey, and he had the Tim Couch jersey, and now he's made.
Oh, yeah.
You got another one now for Kevin Hogan, the Cleveland Browns, man.
I don't even know what to say.
I don't either. I thought they'd be all right this year. This one friend of mine, he bet over 4.5 wins. I was like, that's a great bet. awful.
They're
awful
worse
again
than last year.
I know. They just keep getting worse. And it goes back to what you said earlier in the show. Could have had Wentz. Could have had Prescott. Could have had DeShone Watson. Like, at what point does having just a lot of crappy players, when is that better than having one really good player? We've seen one player make teams incredible before.
You've got to imagine when those quarterbacks are sitting there next year. Darnold, Rosen, and who's the other kid from, was he from Wyoming or something like that? I forget the other guy's name, but you know, let's say it's like the Browns, the Giants, San Francisco, maybe San Diego, all in the top four, right? So you've got New York, the Palace, right? You've got beautiful San Francisco, beautiful San Diego, and then the friggin' Browns. You got to be sweating bullets. Your name doesn't get called.
And they go to cold weather city, and their team stinks. All right, that's it. We'll be back to preview week number 6. It's season's going fast here on the Tailgates of Hell.
You're listening to the Tailgates of Hell, the NFC East podcast for the common man. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Google Play.